Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Did you have a nice Resurrection Sunday?
I did. It was different.
What'd you
Very
do?
Very reflective.
Yeah? How so?
We were visiting my in-laws.
Okay.
And,
Delaware.
You know, the kids weren't, mm-hmm. Okay. And the kids weren't home. We weren't with the bulk of our other family,
mm-hmm.
We always gather
yeah.
after church. And so, it was different, but it was good and it was necessary. Like, it was relaxing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's not always when we take that trip,
mm-hmm.
but we're in a different phase. It's obvious that we're in a different life phase, but it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you? You had a different one.
Yeah. I was on a flight, actually.
Heathen? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm joking.
I was joking. I was in Vegas, so
right.
I flew out of Vegas on Sunday morning and I landed Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Missed church, but had a nice Easter dinner.
There you go.
Yeah, it's nice.
One so, day. A heathen.
This is literally my first time missing church on Easter, probably my entire life that I can remember.
It's okay.
Except for maybe in college. I don't know if I went to Easter
I was trying
Sunday.
To figure that out too.
Except for maybe college. I just don't remember. So I went to church selectively in college.
Mm.
Did you?
You don't say. No, I went pretty regularly.
Did you?
Yes.
Good.
You said I'm churchy.
You are churchy.
We also had a chapel on campus.
As did we.
Oh, okay. And I was also very involved. Like, I was a Sunday school teacher.
Oh, in college?
In college.
You win.
I mean.
You absolutely win.
It was really more to connect with the kids. We had a school on campus. And
wow.
The president's children and the pastor of our chapel, his son was
Hampton,
in my class.
Hampton is so wholesome. I love this.
Okay.
I might try to get my kid to go to Hampton now.
I am actually a deacon of the Hampton University Chapel. I had
really?
To take classes and go through a thing.
Are you an absentee deacon? Because you're not down there much.
I'm not down there. And I guess maybe I'm a student deacon or a junior deacon. I don't know. But
trifling
I really need
deacon?
To follow up on
maybe
that.
Maybe a trifling deacon?
How is that trifling?
Because you don't go.
I don't go there because I don't live in Virginia anymore. But
then,
like,
they need to cancel you from the deacon role then.
No, they don't. They
yeah,
probably,
you a lifetime deacon?
I don't even know how that works. I know there was a process and I went through it
yeah.
and I
Is there such a thing as deaconess or is that just
That's a black church stuff that we
okay.
just put on stuff to try to put women in their place.
Eldress, y'all say eldress or y'all say elder?
No.
Yeah. No. What about financial advisoress?
Why it just can't be financial advisor. No, none of that. But I do need to follow up on that because that should be like
yeah,
documented in the roles and
yeah.
figure out what does that mean today?
What if they laugh at you like, girl, you ain't been here in 20 years talking about you a deacon.
They could, but
yeah.
you know.
Okay. Well, congrats. I mean, that's wonderful. You got me beat.
You asked me the question.
Nah, did
I go regularly? I
yeah.
went regularly. I taught Sunday school. We had a liturgical dance group. I was a part of that.
Did you party on Saturday nights?
I ran track, so I was gone most Fridays and Saturdays, and sometimes Sundays.
You ran fall too?
Cross country, yeah. I was a middle distance
You
runner.
Ran all year round?
I was a year-round athlete. Cross country, indoor
Sunday
track,
mornings in college, I was waking up, hopefully in time to get to the cafeteria before it closed.
Before they closed. Yeah,
so
I mean,
I wasn't...
the good thing was, it was... Chapel started at 11, so...
Yeah, yeah, I was asleep.
If I'm an early riser. Like, none of that mattered.
Yeah, I got in around four. So yeah, I was asleep.
I'm not saying I went every single Sunday, but I did go regularly.
But speaking of college.
Yes.
Speaking of college.
'Tis the season, kind of.
We are approaching National College Decision Day.
That's right.
May 1st, is that?
Yep.
And so are you seeing on your timeline all the
yes.
parents posting their kids with all the logos?
Yes. All of the things.
I think it's so sweet.
It's really cool because this originated, if I'm not mistaken, from high school athletes who are going to be competing in college, where they would kind of do their reveal
mm-hmm.
and put on the hat for the school yeah. that they were going to. So yeah. I think a few folks decided, well, we can celebrate everybody.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
It's cool.
Yeah. And so a lot of folks will be making their decisions mm-hmm. very, very soon.
Yep.
And so today it's about how to make that decision, or really said differently, how to help your kid make that decision, because it's ultimately mostly their decision.
Some people are going to disagree with you, but yeah.
Did your mom help you with this decision? Because I feel like we were all raised very differently than how we're raising our kids.
You know it. Our kids are spoiled.
Yeah, no, they are. But we spoiled them.
And a little soft.
Oh,
our
yeah.
kids are softer than we were.
And we softened them. So,
but we also have mental health issues. So the answer is probably yeah. somewhere in between. But yeah. anyway.
We have our own undiagnosed mental health issues, by the way.
For sure. yeah. For sure. I don't remember. I was pretty independent. Yeah. So, and the process was different, right? So she was aware of the schools I was applying to.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that she was disappointed in was I had basically a full ride somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want to go.
Where was the somewhere else?
Another Seton Hall.
Oh,
between
yeah. you wanted to leave the state, and you
I wanted
HBCU.
To leave this. I didn't want to be here. First yeah. of all, remember I moved to New Jersey in yeah. 11th grade, so I didn't want to be here, and I certainly didn't want to stay here.
Yeah,
but there was, you know, it was partially recruited for track,
yeah.
which Seton Hall back in the day had monster track and field team.
Yeah, and they've sent a bunch of our high school grads.
Absolutely,
there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. including. Parents of Olympians.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know. And then academically.
Big shout to the parents of Noah Lyles. Noah Lyles and Josephus Lyles.
That's right. Noah and Josephus' dad was one of my high school teammates, a year mm-hmm. older, but
yeah,
he's a star at Seton Hall and a few others. It yeah. wasn't just him. But in any case, between that and, you know, I was a good student, so I pretty much could have gone for free.
Yeah. Okay. So mom's mad.
But I picked another Pirates
yeah.
destination.
Yeah.
But she understood it
with
later.
With the same colors, ironically.
Same colors, same mascot, yeah.
different
zip code.
Yeah, different state, different yeah. vibe.
And I probably would have done fine there.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to be there.
All right. Yeah. So today is just about helping.
Nothing against the hall
yeah.
before people
Big
start coming for me.
No one's coming for you over that. Trust me, no one's coming for you. But yeah, so we're going to help you and help your kid make the right decision on just picking the right college.
Or just share some insights, you know.
Yeah.
Just consider some different perspectives.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Yeah, I'll just think back to, so I've got two kids in college.
Right.
My oldest.
You are in it.
You know what's so funny? Like, I remember going through.
Nothing's funny about any of this. No, I'm kidding.
Nah, I mean,
I'm kidding.
Nah,
I'm kidding.
It's like, I had my own bias. So like I just kept putting my finger on the scale for my oldest. Mm-hmm. Like he's like, well, I this is what matters to me most. This is what matters. And like clearly on paper, he's leaning to the right and I'm pushing him to the left. Cause I was like, man, my money's going to an HBCU. I don't know where you're going.
Mm.
But he ended up not choosing one. I was very heartbroken. But ultimately I'm like, yo, it's your life. And he was really happy with his decision.
Mm-hmm.
With my middle child, she really, just for her own reasons, did not want to leave the state, which mm-hmm. really ruled out all the HBCUs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to eat that, you know?
Yeah.
And that was it. So I do have one more. So I've got a junior in high school.
Has the brainwashing begun?
Oh, yeah. I was just like, look, you're my HBCU kid. Like, it's not even up for discussion.
You don't have a choice because the others made a different choice.
This is so funny. So I got a piece of mail.
It's a shame.
He got his first college mail.
Ah.
And I grabbed the envelope
mm-hmm.
and I'm proudly like, hey, this is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You just got mail from Morehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and I brought it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, oh, wow. And he opens the envelope, but it was like Monmouth, I can't, my vision was off. Like, because I'm so laser focused on it. So, like, and I need reading glasses.
Yeah. You convinced yourself that it was Morehouse.
And it was Monmouth. And I took it out of his hand and I threw it in the garbage. And no disrespect to Monmouth. And he got upset with me. I had to pull it out the garbage and get back to him. But I'm just
beautiful
saying, like,
campus.
I'm like, yo, I, like, you're my HBCU kid. Like, unfortunately, blame your older two siblings, but you're going to.
That's a shame.
And his top choice is an HBCU already.
All right.
And he keeps talking to me about these other schools. In fact, he's visiting.
Is it your
schools.
Alma mater?
No, I want him to go to Howard University. That's his top choice.
Okay.
He went with us to visit Howard with my oldest and literally was like, hey, Dad, you think I can go to this college?
Aww.
He was like in the ninth grade.
You were like, of course you can.
I was like,
yes, we can.
I was like, yo, if you, you know, apply yourself in school, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
You tempered your excitement.
No, I had to use it as like a little carrot. Like, just maybe you could possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's his top choice. So, and he's been showing improvement. He was in eighth grade at the time and his grades were mid and he's gotten way better at everything. And so now I think it's like.
And he's a thespian.
And that he is too.
Yes.
So let's get into it. So first we always start with stats. Here's a stat that I thought was really interesting. Even though May 1st is really called the decision day, most of the kids have actually already committed at this point. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, between early decision and early action.
Yeah, only like 15% of kids are undecided going into decision day.
Mm-hmm.
Most have already committed.
Yep.
Not to put any more pressure on you, mom, dad, child. But like, you know.
That's what it is.
We didn't have this back in the day. Early decision, early action. We didn't have all that.
I don't remember
it. It wasn't a thing.
It wasn't a thing.
I don't think.
But the dates are about the same on when them deposits are due.
Yeah, that's a fact. And.
Yes, I said them deposits.
Yeah, hey.
On purpose.
Hey. Which is
that's
also,
how I feel about them right
also,
now.
It's also churchy. Church will mess up some words. Like in my church, they say humble. Instead of humble. Do y'all say humble in y'all church?
Some people do. I don't like, connect it to like, my church in particular. But
like, Lord, I'm coming to you as humble as I know
right?
how.
I was like, when did we start saying humble? Is that Greek or Hebrew?
It's like, if I'm praying, I try to avoid saying the word humble because I know it's supposed to be humble because I'm in church. I just say,
no,
I'm coming to you sincerely,
no,
Lord.
We say a lot of things. In our churches.
There's also certain gospel songs where the language is wrong. Like the word choice is wrong. Like I'll think of one.
Please.
It's going to take me a minute.
Okay, that's fine.
Where like grammatically the word is wrong, but like you've been saying it like that for so long. You can't just change the song
right.
to be grammatically correct.
But there's classical hymns, there's Negro spirituals, there's traditional gospel, there's stuff we made up.
Yeah.
It's all fascinating.
So there's a lot of colleges that get a lot of applications and attention, but it's only a small number. Like there's only six colleges that get more than 100,000 applications per year. And five of them are in California and part of the University of California system.
Yes.
And most of those schools are not even super competitive in terms of like their selectivity rate isn't crazy high. Like they will admit 1 out of 4 on average.
I mean... California has some incredible schools, though, too. So if I'm a California resident, I know I've got some good options in front of me. I'm just saying.
Sure. Yeah, we got UCLA, UC San Diego, UC Berkeley. Those are the top three in the country in terms of getting applications. The only non-UC school on the list is NYU, where my son is. And they get 114,000 applications. And then you go to the next tier that get between 50 and 100,000, Northeastern and Boston. Another UC school, UC Davis, University of Michigan, University of Southern California. Like these California schools are racking up.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. I will also add that HBCU applications, my friend, are soaring.
On the rise.
On the rise. HBCUs, this stat's a little dated, but as of the last number reported, received over 543 applications across the 64 reporting.
543,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did I say 543?
That's got, what some people they got, expect. You know,
they got 500 kids going to their school. God bless them. 543,000 application. That's five UCLAs right there.
Right?
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And top schools like Howard and A&T are getting 30 to 40,000 applications per year.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. HBCU enrollment. So I always got to give our top five, especially since my school is in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You would if they weren't. You would if they weren't. Oh, let me make good on my promise,
okay.
Right?
Yep.
We have a mutual friend who's a principal at a middle school. I was invited. Our analyst and I, Storm, joined a club for a session on careers in banking and finance, and they wanted women presenters. Yeah. And we had a debate about our mutual friend and where she went to school. Yeah. I know her as a Morganite. And you said she started at Hampton. I was like, not possible.
Yeah.
She's the sister of one of my best friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, if she had started in Hampton, I would have known.
Yeah, and yet you didn't.
And yet I didn't. But
I questioned the friendship.
And you said, no. And you said, well, if I'm right, what are you going to give me?
Okay.
And I'm like, I will overly gloat on what you call the national treasure.
Yes.
On Morgan State University. And so what I learned was we were both right. She went to a summer program at Hampton after high school graduation.
That's starting at Hampton.
And decided that Morgan was the better place for her. Yeah. And so she spent 4 years at Morgan.
Wisely.
Which is what I thought.
She wisely
decided. It worked out for her.
Yeah, wisely.
It was the best place for her. And that's part of the conversation today.
Absolutely.
Some places are great, but they're not the best place for your child.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for you to overly gloat about how great Morgan is. But all right, we'll save that for later in the show. It's all good.
I'm easing into it.
Okay. All right.
It was a great and better place for her.
Okay. Great.
Good enough, right?
So top HBCUs by enrollment, we've got North Carolina A&T, where Andrea's husband went to college. 15,000 students, where it only costs $3,500 if you're in state, $17,000 out of state.
It's a whole different.
Very affordable, though.
Yes.
For both.
For both, and especially for North Carolina residents.
Oh, for sure.
Come on.
Howard University is number two, 14,890 students. $35,000, whether you are in the district or out of, because it's a private school.
Mm-hmm.
That's very affordable. And they've got all kinds of scholarships, too. Like, my kid got into Howard and had a bunch of money thrown his way, and I was so mad that he didn't go there.
Yeah, we have a similar story. Yeah. I was like, for my son, pandemic grad, right? High school grad. And I was like, we can, with the amount of money that they were offering him, I'm like, we could write a check for all 4 years right now.
Yeah.
And
he was not.
I was like, we got to at least do a drive-by, right? To rule it out. And he was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Just not interested. Yeah. That made me a little sad.
Yeah. But sometimes the more you push a kid one way, the more they want to go the other way.
Yeah, he's that kid.
Yeah. Morgan State, number three on the list, just under 11,000.
Where's the applause button?
It's all right.
We don't need the applause button? Okay.
People know how great Morgan is.
National treasure.
It's a national treasure for crying out loud.
I got to find something else to say, though, right?
Yeah, you'll come up with something, I'm sure.
Excellent institution.
Where leaders are made.
It is the majority institution of our employees here at Momentum Advisor.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Historically and currently.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan State, located in Baltimore, Maryland, founded in 1867. 10,739 students, and it only costs, if you're in-state, just under $6,000 per year. This is tuition only. And then if you're out-of-state, it's $17,000 per year.
Very affordable.
Very affordable.
Love that.
Number four is Prairie View A&M in Prairie View, Texas, 9,800 students. $11,000 in-state.
I didn't know Prairie View was that big.
Yeah, $11,000 in-state.
I didn't know Morgan was that big.
Come on. You didn't know Morgan was that great either. Now you know. Prairie View is only $27,000 out of state. And then finally, number five, FAMU. So FAMU used to be way bigger than Morgan.
Yes.
Because when I went to Morgan, there were 5,000 students. Now it's 10. And was real big at their 9,000 back in the day. FAMU is 5,700 in state, 17,000 out of state.
So did you always want to go to Morgan, or were you considering other colleges, period, or other HBCUs?
Real talk, I wanted to go to Hampton. That was my number one school, then Howard, then Morgan.
So I wanted to go to FAM.
Yeah, I wanted to go to Hampton mainly because my brother went there.
Okay.
And I just idolized and adored my brother.
Yeah.
And
I wanted to go to fam. Growing up in Louisiana.
Yeah.
All of my family that went outside of New Orleans for college went to Southern.
Mm.
And my sister went to Southern. I just didn't want to do what they were doing. Yeah. But fam was definitely where I was headed.
At the end, we'll talk about how we chose our respective colleges for sure.
Being all technical. Decision matrix.
So tuition, just to give you guys an idea of how much things are hitting for. On average, in-state public four-year colleges, and this is tuition plus fees, housing, and food, around 31K. So that's 31K.
6X what it costs.
For your state school is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So that means like if you got a kid that's in high school right now, like you need to be planning for a six-figure bill. Like
unbelievable.
At a minimum if your kid's going to the in-state public four-year school.
Mm-hmm.
If your kid is going out of state, then that number goes up to about 51K.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for an out-of-state public college, your UVAs, your University of Michigans, your Penn States.
Yeah.
And if you go to private colleges, it goes up to 65K, although that can
ooh, child.
That can range greatly, including over $90,000 per year, including what I pay, which is... On the low end was 90. On the high end, I've paid as much as $115,000 for my kid to go to school for 1 year.
I repeat, woo child.
Yeah. And then we always got to remind you, in-state, in-district, community college, $4,000 per year.
Mm-hmm.
And your kid can go there, transfer to the in-state college and save
almost
50%.
Mind you, we're talking about undergraduate degrees.
Undergrad.
Yep.
That's a fact. College inflation is rising at between 3 and 4% per year, which is significantly higher than the inflation we expect for our overall economy. Be mindful.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go to break. When we come back, let's get into these conversations to be having with these kids about picking the right college.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to help our kids make the right decision. This is whether you are the parent, the grandparent, the auntie, the godparent. This is whether you are a neighbor,
the village,
a helpful citizen.
The village can be really influential.
You might share some of this advice on Facebook in the comments.
Mm. That too.
You might whisper this in somebody's ear at church.
Listen, I belong to some Facebook groups that have to do with the college process. And some of the inspiration for this conversation today came from questions in that group.
Mm.
It's really interesting.
Yeah. So I want to bring up a term called supportive involvement.
Okay.
That's like the role that I think parents should be trying to achieve and helping their...
And how would you define that?
So
what are the guardrails for supportive involvement?
Supportive involvement is really helping your kid to think clearly, reflect honestly, and feel supported as they weigh their options. Because like, yo, they're the one that's going to be there for 4 years.
It's their experience. Yeah.
It's not yours.
But some parents, guardians, grandparents, mm-hmm. are like, but I'm paying for this.
Yeah.
So does that mean my vote counts more?
Yeah.
Or should that mean my vote counts more?
I mean, that's a question.
Or should that mean my kid's vote doesn't count at all?
Well, today we're going to take the perspective that it's your kid's decision And we're here to be supportive. Mm. And we're going to give advice for supportive involvement and helping them to make the right decision.
You know, it's crazy. I'm living through this again, but yeah. With grad school.
How so?
Well, my oldest was accepted into a exclusive, I didn't know how prestigious it was, graduate school.
Which
for
one?
An MFA.
Which
in
one?
Local music, Cal Arts.
Okay.
And I just didn't hear a plan.
Uh-huh.
So when we were going through accepting the financial aid package, I misinterpreted the information that he screenshot me. First of all, that was the first problem. I'm like, hey, can you email this to me in a PDF? He's just like, I texted it to you. I'm like, that wasn't my question. I know you texted to me. Because I just couldn't see the whole thing. He's like, well, you can just zoom in. And I'm like, yeah, but I need to see the whole picture. So I misinterpreted the cost, number one. And number two, I didn't know the value. I didn't understand the value. I'm like, what would you get out of this experience that you can't do right now without it?
Mm-hmm.
And so we just had to have a real conversation and what that meant for finances. I wanted to make sure he had thought through how he's going to support himself financially.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to be realistic with him about how much we could support financially and the fact that he's going to be on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
And he can't just drive home for the weekend or hop on a train or we can't just fly out there.
Yeah. Supportive involvement.
Supportive
involvement. And it's also your kid's literally an adult now.
I mean, he's an adult now. Yeah.
Like literally like an all the way adult college grad, like pays his own bills, I hope.
College, for the most part, yes.
For the most part.
It's just emergency. So we still tell them, your problems are our problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to get
still on our health insurance.
Yeah. Hey.
I'm just saying.
Just don't get sick.
No.
Young man.
Exactly. And he doesn't. So. Yeah.
All right. I know we're going through this show, but you asked me the question earlier, and I had to find it. Some examples of gospel songs where the language.
Oh, that's what you were looking for. Okay.
In church, I like will write down my songs so I remember if I need to lead a song, what the song is. All right. So I had to look at my list. Okay.
Oh, you lead songs in church?
All the time.
And you call me churchy.
All the time.
Okay.
First up, and this is not an exhaustive list. These are the first two that came on my list. Can't nobody do me like Jesus.
Can't nobody.
Like, is that grammatically correct?
Of course not. But I mean.
Like, you want to be in church like, nobody could do me like Jesus. People be like, what song is that? Okay, I'll give you another one.
I'm not upset.
Hold to his hand. God's unchanging
hand. Hold on to his hand? Just,
like, when would you say hold to his hand?
Like, when you sing the song.
I know, but if you were walking with your kid and you're trying to tell your kid to grab your husband's hand, you're not going to say hold to his hand.
No, but.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay.
These don't bother me.
Can't,
it's art.
Can't nobody do me like
no.
Jesus?
No. It doesn't bother me in song form.
Okay.
It's not conversational.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, the grammar isn't right. It's
You're
tough
not
for,
an artist.
It is tough for me to sing bad grammar. I do it.
Are you going to spit rap lyrics in a grammatically correct form?
So, supportive involvement.
Yes.
So, supportive involvement, again, it's about, again, helping them to talk through their priorities. It's about giving them some experience, but really respecting their vantage point, their independence. It may be tough, but it's about letting your child explain without interrupting them. It's without putting your thumb on the scale the way I mentioned that I did. And it's acknowledging that like uncertainty is part of the decision making. And like this is not a life or death decision.
Right.
And there's really not a wrong answer. And it's really like this is one of those times to rely on your gut.
Sure.
Plus a little bit of research, plus a little bit of, you know, black and white, let's make some lists and let's cross some things out. But it's really helping them to be confident in making a decision because, you know, and as parents, we move from being their managers to being their board members after a while.
Yeah,
and this is one of those first times. So like one of the big ways you can be, what do we call it, supportively involved is to just help your kids to come up with a framework.
Right.
Right? Like what are the different things that matter to you?
Yep.
How do you rank those things? And then how do we score each of the schools based on those priorities?
So it is a decision matrix. I bet you came up with one, didn't you?
For college? I didn't know about that yet. I
mean, for your kids.
I kind of did, but I also skewed it. Like I was actively putting my, yeah, because we did the same thing for Pick in high school, and he would give all of his different things, and then I was like, and he's like, Dad, just tell me which one you would pick. I'm like, Franklin High School. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you see, he didn't go there. So, All right. So let's go through some questions that might help you in the framework.
Yeah. Like, can you picture yourself there day to day, or what stands out about that?
Yeah.
It was definitely a factor in my decision, but we're not talking about that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Can you see yourself there, or where do you see yourself there?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
And on that note, which environment do you feel more aligned with?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I think there's urban schools. There's suburban schools, there's rural schools. Would you consider Hampton rural, suburban? What would you consider?
More suburban.
Suburban?
Yeah.
Yeah.
More suburban.
Do you picture yourself being close to home, far away?
Right. If you're confident about what you want to study, what does that look like in terms of a major? Is there a program that's aligned with your career goals?
And that's another good question. Like, what matters more? Is it the school or is it the major? Big question.
Big question.
Like, there's some people that, like, you know, their dream is to be at this particular school. And if they happen to have their major, that's cool too.
Right.
If not, some kids would switch to a different major just to be at that school.
Right. So, and when I think about oldest child, they really didn't have a major for what he wanted to pursue. But he loved that the school was that important to him.
Yeah.
It may not have been most important in his overall decision. But for the school he chose, the school was important to him.
Yeah. So
that's, he just vibed with it.
That's a great one. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's important that a kid has already picked their career? Or do you think college is a chance to kind of find yourself a little bit? Because that's the funny thing. Like, they are expected to declare a major at some point.
Yeah. So it's interesting. And I heard it this way when we were visiting schools with my oldest. And this was at a particular, I mean, I'll just put it out there, it was at Johns Hopkins.
Okay.
And
Baltimore.
We went to an information session.
Same place where Morgan is.
Same place where Morgan is. Morgan is just a stone's throw from
different part of the city.
Johns Hopkins.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But it's still the same city.
Yeah, Morgan's in the suburbs. Johns Hopkins is in the city. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Suburban part of Baltimore is what I'm saying.
Fine.
Yeah.
Fine. You just want to talk about Morgan again, and that's fine. We'll bring Morgan back into it.
Nearby.
Correct.
With backyards and stuff. Trees. Go ahead.
And I heard the person who was leading the information said, parents, you need to stop obsessing over your child's major. Many of them will go on to have careers in things that aren't invented yet.
Wow.
Employers are looking for critical thinkers and problem solvers.
Mm-hmm.
Entrepreneurs need to be problem solvers and critical thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know, there was a time when and there are some exceptions, of course, if you want to be a doctor, you got to go to medical school.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you have to major in pre-med. Some schools don't have a pre-med program, but that doesn't preclude you from going to medical school later.
Yeah.
But in general, there was a time where you wanted to be a teacher, you majored in education.
Yeah.
If you wanted to be an accountant, you studied accounting. If you wanted to be a whatever, you had to study that to do that job. And that's not exactly the same anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The example he gave was, and I remember this like it was yesterday, and it was clearly 5 or 6 years ago. You know, everyone at a software company isn't a coder.
Mm-hmm.
You need people who can have marketing minds and business minds and be creative. I mean, we talk all the time about our diversity, which people think automatically about us being Black owned and Black led. But one of our star advisors has an engineering degree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you don't have to major in the thing to be the thing.
Love that. I woke up this morning with my mind and it was stayed on Jesus.
Stayed. Yes.
It was stayed on Jesus.
That's it.
Like, that's tough. All right. So let's get into the money discussions. We are financial advisors. And I'm sorry, these gospel songs with bad grammars is they got
but
me in trouble.
Also, the whole thing with stayed, though, like, that's another, that word is different. Because if you think about.
But they mean stayed, like STAYED. That's what they mean.
No, but think about if an execution is stayed.
Yeah, we're going to postpone
it.
We're going to stall it.
Okay. It's not the same thing.
No, they're saying that's...
It's not la, la, lay. You know how lay, the word lie and lay has these weird...
Yeah, yeah. No.
All right, fine.
Okay, so the money discussion. So here's where it is more than just the kid's decision. And I want parents to really take stock of this money decision because...
No pun intended.
Yeah, because like, while it may be the kid who's going to be there, it is y'all who is going to pay for it.
It is y'all.
Yeah, that could be a gospel song right there. It is y'all. It is y'all who is going to pay for it. It's a team sport, right? And so on the money decision, so yeah, there's the financial aid offer. But like some of it, for example, you might have two schools. One may be giving a bunch of grants and scholarships, and another one might be giving work study. And maybe the out of pocket is the same. But now you got to ask yourself, do I want my kid working?
Right.
Or do I want my kid just focusing on their grades?
Absolutely.
And maybe the kid wants to go to the work study school. And I'd ask, are you willing to work? Do you recognize that it's going to require
you? Will
you
be able to?
Yeah, it's going to require you to give a little more effort with regards to that. But like, don't just let your kid pick a place just because they want to go there. Like, yeah, you're being supportive. But let's also add in some reality. And it shouldn't be the only decision factor, but it should be a factor for sure.
So I'm going to offer the opposite perspective as well. Not because I disagree, but just because I want to offer another perspective to that. Some people will make a decision based on, like, Johnny's going to the school that offers him the most money.
Yeah.
And for some people, that is a reality. Mm-hmm. There is no other option.
Yeah.
But if you choose a school that offers the most money without factoring in any of these other things,
oh, agreed,
it can end up being very costly. If your child is going to be miserable, it's not going to be an environment where they feel affirmed, they might not have success.
Yeah.
It just may not work for every child. So my heart breaks sometimes when I hear, oh, we have all of these options and that's great, but we are picking the one that offers the most money. Yeah. And sometimes the difference is not as wide as we think it is. But also it just ends up being costly in a different way.
Well said. Like, would you take a free plane ticket somewhere you don't want to go just because it's a free plane ticket?
Right. Like, but I also understand, without having been in that situation, that there are some people where that's their only option, or that is their best option, is the school that offers the most money.
For sure. So again, it's a factor, not the only factor. I see a lot of times, in particular, first generation students whose parent did not go to college. The parent may not feel equipped to help the kid with this decision.
Absolutely.
They may not realize that it's okay to say, no, we can't afford this. They may not realize it's okay to push the kid to the place that they can't afford, that might have some other qualities that the kid's overlooking because they're laser focused on the other one. Because a lot of times,
I've been a part of those conversations for other kids.
Yeah, sometimes it's the marketing that has a kid wanting to go there. They got the brochure with the custom website.
They got the fan experience when it comes to athletics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this is the money decision is when you need to be a parent as well and say, look, like, money doesn't come from the sky. Like, we've got to pay for this. And we don't want you saddled down with a bunch of debt, nor do we want to be saddled down with a bunch of debt. Because the way student loans are set up today, the parents are set up to take on the debt load more than the kids are.
For sure.
And that could derail your retirement.
Or your financial well-being, period.
Facts.
I'm not here for that. I'm not here for that.
And like, this is a team sport now. Yep. Like, paying for it is a team sport. Okay, if we pick this college, are you willing to write 100 scholarship applications?
Right.
To try to help defer the cost or defray the cost?
Even then, with scholarships, this isn't in the notes, but you have to understand, for certain scholarships, is the money going directly to the school or is the money coming to you to spend the way that you would like or the way you would need? When the money goes directly to the school and it's not applied to both semesters and they apply it all to one semester, you end up with a bill in the following semester because it wasn't money. It was almost credited, 100% credited in one semester. It happened to me.
Yeah.
Literally a week ago. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
What do you mean you can't register for classes for next semester?
Yeah.
All your stuff's covered. Uh-huh. So she literally received one-time scholarships that went directly to the school. They were 100% applied in the fall semester. And then the amount of those scholarships that don't show up in the spring semester, we had to pay.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm still salty.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise.
And then also, like, what are the other costs beyond tuition? And, like, how can we make it more affordable? You know, maybe in a subsequent year, maybe it's moving off campus. Maybe it's
travel.
Work study.
Traveling home.
Yeah. You mean living at home and travel? No,
just traveling from campus if your student goes to school. Yeah, the cost of travel.
Yeah. I think also the money decision, there should be some general discussion around career outcomes.
For sure.
Like, is it worth it to pay $100,000 a year if you want to be, I don't know, a preschool teacher, if that's your goal, right?
Yep.
Like, maybe there's a more affordable path to that field that isn't necessarily a high-paying field. Because I hate to make everything about money, but like, you don't want to be struggling with six-figure debt. Because it will force you into career decisions you may not want to take on.
That's right.
It could create undue pressure.
Absolutely. And for that student, maybe being a preschool teacher is not the ultimate goal. Maybe being a preschool teacher is a path to something else that does give you a better return for your investment. And some of those things we just don't know.
Yeah.
At 17 and 18.
Yeah.
And even parents at our big ages.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
So we're being
supportively involved.
And we're helping our kids make the right decision on D-Day.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom. It's leading
to the North Star. All right, we're back. We are still supporting. We are still involved, but we are not making this decision for our kid. We are making this decision either with our kid or we are helping them to make the decision on their own.
Mm-hmm.
How's that?
That sounds like good, reasonable balance to me.
Yeah. Did you think about the local Virginia economy when you were applying to Hampton or deciding to go there?
Not at all.
Because that's another financial thing. Like, so a lot of times people end up living in that close proximity to where they went to school.
Mm-hmm.
So
I do see a lot of that.
Yeah.
With my classmates.
So looking at a college, it's like, all right, well, where do people tend to work geographically?
Yep.
What industries? Are you feeling those industries? Is that a good fit? That's part of that money decision.
Yeah, I did not think of that at all. I did think of it as a parent, not so much because I expected my children to live in the area. I thought about it was in terms of how does it influence their experience, right? So one of the schools for my youngest was UConn.
Yeah.
And like stores is a college town. Everything thrives based on the university. But once you step foot outside of stores, it's rural.
Mm-hmm.
And so Thanksgiving break, if you're stuck there, you know, there's nowhere to go to eat dinner.
Yeah.
Or if you're still competing, she's an athlete, if you're still competing after the school year, like what happens? Where do you go to get your hair done?
Mm-hmm.
Or like just little things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I did not consider it at all.
At the end, we'll talk about how we picked our colleges. I had so little thought to where I went to college. I'll share that too. I got another one for you, Andrea.
Okay. Bad grammar.
You got to move. You got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you got to move.
It's conversational bad grammar, though.
Not you have to move.
Right.
You must move.
You don't say conversationally, we got to go.
I know, but like I'm talking to the Lord like right now. Like I feel like I should be more formal.
You think the Lord is judging your grammar?
Yeah, I guess not. No, he died so that we would not be judged so here's like this so
I'm
harshly.
I'm going to issue you a challenge. The next okay. time you lead a song in church,
okay,
I want you to sing it grammatically.
Sing it right.
Correct.
You're trying to get
see
me
what kind of
out
reaction.
You're trying to get me kicked out of church.
You're going to get excommunicated. Coming in here, being all proper.
Who you think you, who you, that's not.
Who you think you is.
That's not humble at all. All right, let's get back into this supportive involvement.
I'm still trying to picture Alan leading a song in church.
All the time. I should be a visitor at your church, and I'll, you know how they'd be like, do the visitors want to say anything?
Yes.
I'll get up there, I'll introduce myself, and then I'll sing a song.
Don't do that.
Why not?
Don't do that at my church.
Why not?
I am a part of the
I will prolong the service.
The AME denomination.
Yeah.
And they will talk about me bad.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Perfect.
You're like, does he think he can just come here and start singing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I bet you they sing right along with me.
They'll give you 60 seconds to get through a verse.
That's it?
But then they will find a way to politely sit you down.
I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll see.
See. All right. I'm just going to show up at your church one day, though, just as a visitor. I'm a hide, though.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be dying.
And you know what I'm gonna do?
Because I won't believe it.
I'm gonna be like, Andrea, why don't you come on down? Why don't you sing a song for us? You got such a beautiful singing voice.
Nobody knows.
No one knows.
I'll see.
I'm like, it's really no one knows. All right. So general advice, again, we're being supportively involved. Number one is don't pressure your student to pick a particular school. It ain't on you. It is on them.
Yeah.
Don't compare your kid to other kids. This is going on a lot. Like a kid got into Penn, a kid got into Harvard, a kid got into Howard. Mm-hmm. And you're like, man.
Right.
Like.
I know a student, a family friend right now, whose daughter was admitted to Princeton. She has an older sibling who's also a current Princeton student. And it's like, it's not coming from the parents, but everyone else is like, what decision is there? Like, I don't understand why you wouldn't go to Princeton.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's not necessarily what she wants for herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got some other quality schools to choose from.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I definitely understand, though, how other people will hear where a student's been accepted to. And it's kind of like, why would you go anywhere else?
Yeah.
And not really understand that that's not necessarily what's best for them.
On that same note, like, don't think about prestige. Don't think about embarrassment. Like,
right.
It's not like the place where your kid goes to school is not so that mom and dad could just brag.
Exactly.
Like, it's
still
way
gonna be their experience.
Bigger than that. Because mm-hmm. I will tell you, like, when I was at NYU for grad school, every year there were a bunch of kids committing suicide at that school.
Mm-hmm.
And how sad is that?
That's the ultimate sadness.
A kid put themselves under so much pressure.
Mm-hmm.
They picked a school that clearly either wasn't a right fit or there was just too much pressure going on for that kid.
Fit
period.
Is so important. Yeah.
So like, let the kid pick a place they're going to feel good, even if it's not the one that you can brag the most about.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not the one that ranks highly compared to where your friend's kid is going to school. Because
right.
it's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say, if the kid needs to visit again, like I think those admitted student weekends, great opportunities to really whittle down your top choices.
For sure. I'm a big proponent of, it's too late at this point if you've already applied and you just have your decisions to make, but if you can afford it, I'm a big believer in attending summer programs, mm-hmm. especially residential summer programs, because you start to get a taste of what it's like. No college campus is the same in the summer as it is, you know, during the fall and the spring.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, it helped us make some decisions, at least because even if success in those situations could look like you confirm what you don't want.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we've been very fortunate that our children have been able to participate in multiple residential college programs.
That's great.
Some were free. Mm-hmm. They call them fly-in programs. At some of your top-tier schools, the ones that you have to pay for, they'll take almost anybody. If you can pay to be there,
yeah,
they'll take you for these summer programs. But these fly-in programs, if they invite you to come on their expense, it's not a guarantee that you'll be admitted, but it is like highly likely.
I'm going to challenge one thing you just said.
Okay.
Top tier. This is one of these labels mm-hmm. that we put on these schools that gets reinforced by these publications mm-hmm. that makes a kid feel like they need to go there. But is it top tier for you? Like,
correct.
I think
we went for the exposure.
Yeah. No. What I'm saying is just this going back to like
yeah.
helping your kid make the right choice.
Right.
They should have their own version of what's top tier for them.
Top tier for them.
Not the U.S. News and World Report version.
Yep.
Not the whatever list.
I definitely gave you that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then going back, you also said something really great that I want to hit on is that word fit. Mm-hmm. F-I-T. Fit is like something you just feel.
Yes.
Like that was our first couple of questions we talk about. How do you envision yourself fitting in there? Like, how does it feel?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
This is when you need to encourage your kid to really feel what their gut is telling them. Because mm-hmm. like how many decisions in your life have you relied on your gut? And how often did your gut steer you wrong? Like your gut's usually pretty good.
Yeah. Those instincts, Holy Spirit, vibes, energy,
mm-hmm.
they all mean something.
And fit is when you look past the rankings. Mm-hmm. Fit is when you look past the prestige. And when you look at what is going to get my kid the best customized experience, the combination of academics and social environment that's going to help them to be a successful adult. Whatever for who they are.
And my two have completely different social and emotional needs.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew going in that they weren't even going to be considering the same types of institutions.
Yeah.
And they have different skills and interests too.
They really do.
Yeah.
Both extremely talented in mm-hmm. their own right.
In their own way.
In their own fields. Yep. And so in the end, I think it's really up to the parent to remind the kid, like, there really isn't a bad choice. Like, none of your kids are applying to, like, horrible institutions or they would not have filled out the application.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a single perfect choice. And you can't go to all the colleges. You can only really go to one. And, like, it should never be your plan, I'm going to start here and I'm going to transfer there.
Right.
Even though it happens a lot.
Right.
Like, your plan should be, I'm going to go there. I'm going to stay there mm-hmm. until I graduate.
Yep.
And if I want a second experience, I'll go to grad school and Andrea might pay for it.
And I'm going to add to, like, it's not even about how many schools you apply to and how many you get accepted to. Because mm-hmm. at the end, you still are only going to pick one.
Yeah.
Now, you know, with my pandemic graduating child, we threw a lot of things at the wall because we just didn't know. But with the younger one, I think maybe it was 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And with the older one, it was more like 15.
Wow.
But there was just, again, different experiences and he was never able to take the SAT. So we didn't know what that meant. So we threw a lot of things at the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just saying.
And in the end, I think the prime example of supportive involvement is when you turn to your kid and say, look, we trust you. We are here to support you no matter what decision you make. We're going to have your back and we know you're going to make the right call.
Yep.
And then support them.
As best you can.
Yeah, I love that. So before we go, tell your Hampton story. How'd you pick your university?
I visited Hampton during high school day when I was a junior in high school.
Okay.
But my first thought wasn't to go for high school day. I want to say my sister was there for a college program the same week the high school day was happening.
Okay.
So it wasn't even about that, but I knew right away. I'm just like, I'm going to school here.
You visited Hampton or they came to your high school?
I visited Hampton.
Okay.
When my sister, who was a student at Southern.
Okay. I got you.
Was there for a program. Maybe I did it. Maybe I visited twice.
Okay.
Maybe I visited when she was there. And then I visited again for high school day.
Okay.
But I saw myself there. You know, I'm being honest. This was A Different World was a popular TV show at that time. And I was like,
and it looked to me like it was basically Hampton University.
This is human.
Yeah.
I literally saw, I could see myself there. It was palpable.
Mm-hmm.
I literally could see myself there. And I, from that point on, everything else had to meet that standard mm-hmm. for it to knock Hampton out of the number one.
Yeah.
Love and that. Nothing ever did.
Love that.
Five. I applied to five schools.
Yeah.
Maybe six. And I think I got into five of the six. There was a stretch school that I did not get into.
Okay.
But it was very easy.
Was it mostly HBCUs on your list?
Three HBCUs, three PWIs.
Okay. Split down the middle.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of where I applied versus where I sent my SAT scores because, you know, we would have to send our SAT scores.
Yeah.
I think I sent my SAT scores to mostly HBCUs, but I actually applied to five or six schools.
Yeah.
And if I'm remembering correctly, it was Hampton, Morgan.
You applied to Morgan?
I applied to Morgan. Or really? I either applied or I sent my SAT. Again, really? I can't remember the difference between where I sent my scores versus. So I'll just tell you the schools that were in the mix.
I'll contact admissions and I'll see if they can find your file.
I'm sure you can find the answer.
And maybe we can get
Hampton,
you admitted.
Hampton, Morgan, Rutgers, Seton Hall. I did Princeton as a stretch school just to see.
Yeah.
Florida A&M. Did I say Rutgers?
I did
say Rutgers.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Huh? That was it.
And Hampton was number one for you.
Yes. And I was recruited by other schools, but I didn't apply to them.
Seton Hall, you didn't apply?
I did apply to Seton Hall. Okay. I mentioned Seton Hall.
Okay. All right, cool. So I'll tell my story real quick. So my brother, first of all, went to Hampton and really like kind of flunked out.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents.
I'm sure he's thrilled that you just said
that. I mean, like, that's his journey.
He's
like,
doing fine.
He's doing great now. Yeah. But like, he ruined it for me. So my parents came to me off of his experience and said, look, just so you know, you're going to college in New Jersey and you're going to live at home.
I'm like,
well, what if I get a scholarship? They're like, that is the only way. I'm like, all right, so I'll get a scholarship.
Bet.
I'm in like the ninth grade. And so I'm at the Grambling Hampton game at Giant Stadium.
I remember that game. I was there.
I see at halftime this little band perform and I was captivated. I was in the band at the time and the Magnificent Marching Machine. I played the trumpet and the baritone. And they had the drum major, and it was
I'm learning all kinds of things.
It
about
was
you.
An amazing performance, and I was like, I gotta look into that school. And then, literally a week later, there's a college fair, and a recruiter from Morgan is there, and he tells me if you get a XYZ score on your SAT, you'll automatically get a full scholarship. So I go home in the ninth grade, and I'm like, hey, mom and dad, I'm going to Morgan State, and I had never visited any of that. And I knew I was going to an HBCU because of A Different World, because of my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided in the ninth grade, I'm going to Morgan.
Okay.
Fast forward. Now it's time to go on a college tour. I visited all these different schools. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, no, I think Hampton. I think Howard. Morgan's like my third choice. All right. Now fast forward. It's now April.
Of senior year?
Senior year in high school. My parents have a check written out to Rutgers University on the refrigerator. And every day, my mom, and it's dated. My mom's like, on this date, just so you know, I'm mailing this to Rutgers.
Wow.
And that's where you're going to school. So every day I come home from school, I run to the mailbox and I check for a scholarship letter. And literally the first scholarship letter that arrived came from Morgan State University.
Wow.
I ran in the house, I ripped up the check, and I gave my mom the letter. And that was it.
Wow.
And I'm grateful. And ultimately, I did get money from Howard and I did get money from Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really grateful that Morgan's letter came in first because it was a great fit for me.
Did you get money from Rutgers?
I don't remember. Not as much.
I didn't care.
Yeah, I really didn't care.
I actually think
it would have been more expensive for me to go to Rutgers for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Morgan was just a great fit for me. Like Morgan was one of those places at that time in particular that was like small enough for me to really... you know, just have an impact and get my hands involved in a lot of different things and like big enough to have enough people for me to be exposed to that really built up my confidence, that
the
really gave me a lot
of... school makes a big difference. And the culture.
Yeah. Morgan was a little...
And I don't just mean HBCU versus PWI, but like every school has its own like...
Facts.
Culture. Yeah.
Morgan was a playground for me. It was a laboratory for me.
Mm-hmm.
I started a bunch of businesses at Morgan. Mm-hmm. I got involved in student government. I became Mr. Morgan State University, which mm-hmm. was an ambassador for the school. Mm-hmm. I did college tours. I literally did everything you could possibly do. I threw parties. I sold roses on the street. I did, I mean, like, you name it, and I did it. And I know I would not have had a chance at leadership to the extent that I did had I gone to a bigger school.
Sure.
And so for me, it was a good fit. And I mm-hmm. think ultimately, going back to you, the listener, it's about helping your kid to find that fit. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be in their gut. And no matter what they choose, as long as you support them, as long yep. as they believe in themselves and are confident, like, we believe that they will be successful in their college career.
And we didn't talk about it here, but there are some students who are not ready for college or yeah. may not be college bound at all. So those are decisions too.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Those are decisions too. And forcing it when they're not ready can also be costly.
That is a fact. Just that's a whole word right there.
So shout out to those who choose military service, trade school, work experience right out of the gate.
Two-year colleges. Trade programs,
gap
trade
years,
schools. Yeah,
whatever.
All that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prep schools.
Yeah.
They're all on the table.
Yeah. I am very mixed on the gap year, but if it's what your kid needs, then you give it to him.
For me, it's sometimes it may be the best thing emotionally
yeah.
or socially.
Yeah. I guess coming up in the Black community, mm-hmm. we didn't have a gap year.
Yeah, there was
like
no...
jokers that took a year and didn't go to college. They never went to
for
college.
Sure.
And it's a very privileged thing.
You get accepted, but you defer.
No, for sure. But I'm saying it's like a thing of privilege. I don't have that experience.
I got you.
That's all I'm saying.
I got you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
So, but God bless you.
My son's taking a gap year now.
Yeah,
but gets his undergraduate
college
degree
grad.
And was like, I want to go to graduate school, but I need a break.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was socially or emotionally ready to take that leap either.
Then I took three gap years because I took 3 years between undergrad and grad school.
It's different for MBAs.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Keep listening. We'll be back next week. I'm Alan Boomer.
I'm Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors. Momentum.